This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
What a day yesterday.
Yeah, the COVID-19, the coronavirus has basically brought sports to a non-spectator atmosphere, if you will.
Right? Invite only.
Yeah. There's a whole surreal feeling about what's going to transpire here on the Coliseum Complex floor later today at 12:30 when top seed Florida State is supposed to take on Clemson, the 8th seed, who yesterday beat Miami, and be the third meeting of the year, and, of course, each school won on their home floor. That all being said, last night during the first half of the Notre Dame-Boston College game, the Atlantic Coast Conference decided about the same time, I think, that the Big 12 and the SEC decided, along with the Pac-12, which gets started out in Vegas, that there will be only essential personnel on the scene for these postseason tournaments for the time being. Mark, the thing that you and I have been blessed to be around sports a long time, this is an incredibly, and Paul Brazo, who's a friend of ours, associate commissioner for basketball, who's done a marvelous job with this event, told Luke Dukak of the Raleigh News Observer and Ed Harden of the Greensboro News last night, this is an incredibly fluid situation at this point. What we say at 7 may not be the case at 10. You know, I mean, and I don't know that we've ever come upon that in the in sports.
I will tell you, Wes, while you were here yesterday in the arena, I was doing our Sirius XM show, and Mark Emmert makes his statement around 4:15, 4:30-ish, maybe, mm-hmm. give or take, and they're on the air. And as soon as he made the statement, I have decided, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
You could just feel the momentum totally switch that, hey, here's the direction that we're going to go in. Now, this day today, I think, could be one of the most interesting days in sport from a fan's perspective. And we're going to get into this heavier as the day goes on and obviously talk basketball because that's why we're here. But this is going to be a completely, totally different universe from a fan's perspective. I mean, we're sitting here in the Greensboro Coliseum. There's 23,000 seats. It's just going to be a handful of folks watching Florida State take on Clemson at 12:30. It's going to be that way all day, assuming we play basketball. And I'm not trying to put the fear in anybody because we don't know what's going to be the next decision.
Right.
But I think from a fan's perspective, when you watch these games, it is going to be intriguing because I've always thought of basketball. It's a two-hour game. There's back and forth, right?
Yep.
You get the flow. Part of the beauty of this game is the crowd,
yeah.
the bands, the momentum swings, the underdog who has a chance maybe to knock off a number one seed or a two seed or a three seed or whatever the case may be. You're not going to have that.
Yeah.
Now, I still think the kids want to play, right? I know.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a bigger deal for us.
Sure.
And I mean that us as the collective ACC fan base than it will be for the kids. I mean, hey, Mike Bray said, hey, we have 100 practices a year in front of nobody. Kids want to play. And I do think the kids want to play for the most part. But how this plays out today and moving forward, Wes, is anybody's guess. But yesterday was one of those days you'll never forget in terms of, oh, my goodness, not even for just the NCAA and what we do.
Right.
But you saw it with the NBA and other sports.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's go to the statement that was offered last night. First of all, from the Atlantic Coast Conference, Commissioner John Swofford, they issued a statement shortly, as I said, about halftime of the Notre Dame-Boston College ball game. The statement basically said, in light of rapidly changing landscape regarding the COVID-19, the latest developed nationally from health authorities, and today's announcement by the NCAA COVID-19 advisory panel, the ACC will alter the remainder of the tournament after consultation with league presidents and athletic directors. That's an important piece of this process. It was determined that beginning today, Thursday, March 12th, all games will be played with only essential tournament personnel, limited school administrators, student-athlete guests, broadcast television, and credentialed media members present. That statement, as Mark alluded to, was 2.5 hours-ish after the NCAA, which, quite frankly, I didn't think had much choice here. There was too many moving targets in this process. There's too many things to consider. The NCAA made the sweeping announcement, and I think the state of Ohio had maybe more to do with this.
It started it.
Yep.
I think it was the state of Ohio, the governor in Ohio, I think was really the catalyst.
I agree.
Because the reason for I say that is because the NCAA tournament starts in Dayton. And when the governor of Ohio basically said, hey, I don't want to hear about it. Here's what we're doing.
Right.
That almost forced the NCAA to say, hey, guys, guess what? Mm-hmm. That thing starts next week. We got to make a decision one way or the other. And I know you're going to get ready to read the statement for our SiriusXM fans and everything else, too. But I thought the interesting thing about Emirates' statement was one letter, and it's the letter I.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to the statement. But, you know, that wasn't a we. It was an I have decided.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
Well, let's go to Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, statement as well. It's a longer prose here, and you see that the NCAA assesses the impact of COVID-19 in consultation with public health officials and our advisory panel based on their advice in my discussions with the NCAA Board of Governors, who, by the way, are his boss. I have made the decision to conduct our upcoming championship events, including the Division I men's and women's basketball tournaments, with only essential staff and limited family attendance. While I understand how disappointing this is for all fans of our sport, my decision is based on the current understanding of how COVID-19 is progressing in the United States. This decision is in the best interest of public health, including that of coaches, administrators, fans, and most importantly, our student athletes. We recognize the opportunity to compete in an NCAA national championship is an experience of a lifetime for the students and their families. Today, we will move forward and conduct championships consistent with the current information, and we'll continue to monitor and make adjustments as needed. Okay.
Now, so, I would also point out one more thing.
Sure.
While we've got basketball on the brain, right, obviously, because that's what this conversation is about, it also relates to wrestling.
Everything.
And hockey.
Yes.
Right, Frozen Four.
Right.
And the reason I bring up the wrestling is because we've obviously talked a lot about wrestling. We've talked about how this conference, the ACC,
right,
has been so well represented, not only in the top 10 with teams, but also the individuals that are going. And the fact that, guess what, they've sold over 45,000 tickets. So The economic impact of this decision has a trickle-down effect like nobody's business. And obviously, I think, Wes, it leads to the question, are we going to play games? Now, as of this moment, hey, Florida State, Clemson, 12:30.
Ball in the air.
Ball in the air. Let's go. But I do think, as you said, this is an incredibly fluid situation. And given how swiftly things moved as soon as Mark Emmert gave you that message yesterday during the 4 o'clock hour, and you saw how everybody else responded, I think almost every option's on the table at this point in time. And I'm not trying to put fear in anybody, because I've harped on this. You still got to conduct your life and move forward, and you can't live in fear and operate that way. But nothing would really surprise me at this point in time moving forward.
All right. Let's jump to the sound bites from last night. The coaches up first last night with the media on the decision and this process and the weird atmosphere and feeling that now has taken over the 67th ACC tournament.
But this is something that you can't see. And this is something that, used this statement last night, we have very intelligent scientists and doctors and people that are in charge of this kind of thing. And the American people have been very resilient over the years, and I think we'll come out of this thing. But this is a scary time period, but I don't want to try to get in and evaluate what should or should be done with college basketball. Again, we have very intelligent people that'll make the right decision.
My hope was that we could play the games. I mean, this could have been our last game, but my hope would be for the players to get to play the games that they've worked so hard to get to where they are. Teams that, you know, like Dayton, who've come out of nowhere and, you know, just have an opportunity to really win a national championship. And you hope those kids get that opportunity. Obviously, we've got to be safe. We've got to do what's the safest thing. I'm not sure anybody knows yet from listening to everything, but I just hope as a coach that that we can play these games. And, you know, we practice every day with nobody there, and we expect our players to go as hard there as they do in the game. And so, you know, and many times it's ironic in the NCAA tournament that we've been many times had games in the first and second round where there's been almost no noise, a little noise, very few fans. So I just hope the kids get to play the games. That's all. You know, they've worked hard to get here.
Look, we've got it's a serious problem, and it's not an athletic problem. It's a problem all across the country. And so I don't think anybody here or anybody in the sports world should obviously complain about what the people that know what's going on will decide to do.
All right, Kevin Keats puts a close on it for us with the coach's comments from last night. A couple things come to mind here off of Jim Boeheim. Number one, he's exactly right. Sometimes you draw that sleepy 11 a.m. Central Time first and second round start, and there's not many people around. So if you've had some experience with that, then tonight or this afternoon would not be as drastic. Second part of this is it takes me back, and I paused here. I chuckled when he said, you know, sometimes we do this and players are expected to go hard. Remember in October and November, they have these secret scrimmages that nobody's really supposed to know about, but we find out about, and they're officiated and statted and charted and things like that. That's essentially what this becomes today.
Well, like I said earlier, I don't think the players, they want to play.
Yeah.
And this is what they've worked so hard to do, like Boeheim said. So I think the kids are like, yeah, man, it doesn't matter if there's 22,000 in here, which would be perfect.
Right.
Or if there's 22 people in here. They want to go play. I think the bigger interest level here is us.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, you know, we walk through this building at 5:30 in the morning, and what you see behind us is what's here. I mean,
yeah.
you can hear conversations and a guy in the upper deck sitting up there in section 209 right now. And if you're watching these games at home, you're kind of intrigued because this is what you're going to see. And, you know, we're going to get into a broadcasting position about this too, because you got to do games today. But I think it's more of an intrigue factor. I'm talking about the game now, not necessarily the bigger picture of this whole coronavirus. But I think it's more of an intrigue factor with us and media and fans to see what it's going to look like and sound like.
Right.
As far as the players, hey, man, let's go. You're guarding me. I want to score. And, you know, I mentioned Mike Brace. We've had 100 practices with nobody there. So these kids want to go play, and they want to go win a championship. And the bigger question may be, will we have that? And, you know, only time's going to tell. I hope we get basketball.
Yeah, I hope we get basketball through in Greensboro, you know, and everybody, you know, take care of yourselves. That's the one thing I would also add.
Well, you know, you can't live in fear, right? I mean, you know there's a serious issue going on worldwide. You know, keep your hands clean. I kind of kid around on radio the other day. I saw a national story about here's how you wash your hands. Hey, no disrespect. I know how to wash my hands. Now you just have to do it 700 times a day.
Yeah.
But be smart.
If you
walk across the street, to look both ways. You don't just beeline it. So common sense will help. But, again, it's an issue that we've got to take seriously. And but you can't live in fear. And what it does to the sports world, you've already seen it. But I'll be honest with you, if I had the crystal ball, and I don't like to do this normally, I'm not sure that we're done with this. I really don't. I think there could be some more changes coming down the pike.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly changes to the atmosphere here today in Greensboro, and then what potentially the NCAA basketball tournaments look like. And by the way, in the ACC footprint with the Final Four in Atlanta.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
From Greensboro. And what will be a very, very interesting day and night of basketball,
Right. Hopefully.
As you can see, we've brought our scoreboard down to eye level.
Is this the part where you tell everybody it's the Packer and Durham Arena?
It's becoming Packer and Durham Court.
Packer and Durham Court.
At that rate.
It was the arena at the Greensboro Coliseum Complex. That's only from 7 to 10, by the way.
That's it. We give it back to the powers that be. All right, let's talk basketball. We talked about the bigger issue with the coronavirus.
Sure.
We did have basketball, four games yesterday, and it started with Clemson and Miami leading things off. And, again, you mentioned this sleepy early start sometimes. Both teams struggled early, but it did pick up later on.
Yeah, Clemson shot 38% in the first half. Miami shot 32% in the first half. Chris Likes did not start the ball game. He did play with a plastic mask on, if you will, to protect his eye injury.
And he played well.
Yeah, he did.
21.
Yeah, 21 off the bench, so one of the best players in the league, acted like it. John Newman, homecoming game for the Greensboro native, 11 points, one of three Tigers in double figures. There is Hunter Tyson from out front. He had a couple of threes. Tevin Mack, by the way, ACC tournament debut.
That's a big three right there.
Yep,
the
sure
game was tied with about 4 minutes to go. Clemson goes on an 11-zip run. and then got really kind of squirrely there at the end, didn't they? Miami made a run and had a chance with two free throws to cut it to two after being down 11 with just over a minute to go. But for Brad Brownell, nice win. They move on. They get a chance for Florida State today.
For two teams that couldn't shoot it in the first half, Clemson shot 57% in the second half. Miami shot almost 43, 44% in the second half. Note on the Tigers, by the way. Keep in mind now as we move to Thursdays. Tigers were 18 of 19 at the free throw line yesterday.
And missed their last one,
yeah,
by the way. Muir Sims missed
it. That's it.
But you know what? Clemson, like so many teams, Wes, we have this same conversation. When they make shots, they look pretty good.
Yep.
Right? I mean, how many teams fall into that category, not only within the ACC, but nationally? They've always been a pretty good defensive club.
Right.
And you mentioned the fact they get Florida State first today at 12:30, assuming we're gonna go about the premise that we're playing basketball.
That's
right?
It. Right.
But, you know, those two split in the regular season, a crazy game in Little John. But they've normally played pretty competitive games.
Yep.
So, again, the first time we have a chance to see the Noles and Leonard Hamilton, the number one seed. But, you know, somebody, we figured this game would be close, and it was. And as we mentioned 4 minutes ago, it was anybody's game. Clemson just made more plays down the stretch to pull it out and get the W.
Tigers game over 500 now in the year, by the way, as they meet NC State for a third time this year.
Florida State.
Or Florida State for a third time this year, each one on the other's home floor.
They'd like to see NC State.
Well, they would, because if they do see NC State, they'll be in the semifinals.
That's right.
And that's the other ball game we're talking about, because NC State did advance. The Wolfpack beat Pittsburgh 73-58 yesterday. Jeff Capel's team got off to a really good start. Champagne played well again. Did not shoot it as well as he did on day one. But really the thing that caught your eye here was, you know, NC State, C.J. Bryce, double-double, 13-10 for Bryce,
Daniels.
23 for Devin Daniels.
Yeah, he was outstanding.
Yep.
The thing that was impressive about this game to me for NC State was the pressure that they had to win the game.
Right.
That's the one thing you knew yesterday is that, hey, NC State, you are right there, right in the heart of the bracket on the bubble. You have to win that game. You're not going to get credit for the W, but you would have been destroyed from a loss. And once they finally got a handle of it, they blew them out. They took care of business. And for Pittsburgh, I'll say it again, Wes. Personally, I'm a little disappointed in the Panthers. Seven-game losing streak. Yeah, they beat Wake Forest. I still have huge expectations for Capel's guys. With that guard play, the freshmen, the guys they can sprinkle in, I know he's building a program. I thought they'd finish stronger. I know Capel would say the same thing.
Yeah.
Keep an eye, though, on Pitt. I said it a year ago. I'm going to say it again. Keep an eye on Pitt next year to make a move.
Well, if Pittsburgh will use good basketball decisions, they'll be pretty good next year. If you get Champagne, McGowan's, Johnson, I think they need a big.
They do.
They need a big, a reliable big, a tough big. But I kind of like those three for sure. Champagne was very impressive by how he still did not make all freshmen. We'll investigate that with David Taylor.
Well, he took 31 on Wake Forest to make a point.
Yeah, yeah. So
but 10 straight wins now for NC State over Pittsburgh.
All right, real quick, let's check the Wolfpack resume. Let's check the temperature of the Wolfpack Nation this morning. Four quad ones, strength of schedule top 50, which is good. That's about 200 points better than last year. Strength of record 53, net rank 54, BPI 45, and they're the number one now on Joe Lunardi's last four in. Not number four. They moved up to number one of the last four in. Oh, one of Joe Lunardi's last four in, Wes. Read it right there, son.
That's all right. You'll be okay. You'll be here all day. It's real simple for NC State. You beat Duke today, eliminate the problem. So I
got it that easy, dude.
It's that simple.
It's that simple.
You want nice things? Win games. Oh, Wes, how many times have I said that to you? You want some nice things? I got to win games.
Yeah.
You win today. Golden opportunity. You don't have to worry about the word Joe Lunardi again. You're in. Period. End of story.
It's not like the Wolfpack and Blue Devils haven't played each other recently.
And that wasn't pretty.
No, but still, they've played like this will be the third meeting pack.
I know.
And I'm telling you, all three meetings have occurred in 3 weeks.
I get that, but round one was a woodshed. Round two was a woodshed.
Right.
Now we go neutral site. That's game two this afternoon, by the way. Follows Florida State Clemson.
Real quick, Notre Dame did beat Boston College and convincingly last night for the Irish. John Mooney got a double figure in rebounds, did not get a double figure in points. TJ Gibbs and Dane Goodwin led the way for the Irish.
BC, 3 of 24 to start the game. I got news for you. 3 of 24 equals L.
Is that what you got?
Yeah. Okay. 100% of the time.
Yeah.
3 of 24, West Durham.
Yeah.
Now, there's all kinds of conversation regarding Jim Christian, much like we talked about with Danny Manning. That's kind of wait and see.
A lot more in the Northeast than I think has been brought up here.
Yep, no doubt. And, again, we like all these guys. We wish them the best. You got to win games, though, so we'll see what happens on that front. But Notre Dame moves on. They get Virginia. They met once this year. It was a classic, 50-49. Of course it was 50-49. That's what Virginia does to people.
Right.
But that could be a very, very interesting first game of the nightcap.
Eagles close at 13-19. Stephon Mitchell, by the way, 20 points, 13 rebounds for the junior from Shakopee, Minnesota. It'll be a member of the all-defensive team, by the way, who's outstanding prospect. But 20 points, including 10 of 11 at the free throw line for a guy that shoots about 62%, 63%. Pretty strong day at the yard for Mitchell at the line. John Mooney, 11 shots, only made 4 of them for his 8 points.
That's back-to-back, no double-doubles.
But they also had 5 guys in double figures to offset that.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens with Notre Dame. All right, last game of the night.
And it wasn't competitive.
It was not, not even from the start. North Carolina fell behind early and stayed behind and ended up losing 81-53 to put the close on what I'm sure is an incredibly disappointing season for Roy Williams. The Orange get their first win in Greensboro at the ACC tournament. Elijah Hughes, 27, and looked every bit the first-team player, Pac.
He is a terrific player. I got to be honest with you. After watching these two play at the Dome on Leap Day, in which North Carolina lit them up for 90-plus, had their way, 25 assists. They looked good. They had fluid. They moved. They were just out to lunch. That thing was over in a hurry last night. 7-0 before you had your first donut, right? Yeah. I mean, that thing was over quickly. And North Carolina, I mean, what do you say? You know, it's almost kind of a good riddance kind of season, the way they went.
For Brian Ives.
My man Ives.
Of ACC Network. And he's lowering the flag a little bit over there in Chapel Hill this morning. Said that was the worst loss by North Carolina ever in an ACC tournament or NCAA tournament game. And it was 26 against Duke in the 2001 championship game. And I saw that one, and it wasn't pretty either at the Georgia Dome that day.
You have emphasized how often the big three didn't play together for North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
Well, Robinson and Cole Anthony combined to go 3 of 14 for 9 points and 10 turnovers last night.
Yeah.
And I know it's kind of a strange day with all the announcements made, but there was all this talk about, hey, can North Carolina win 5 in a row? And we kept saying, hey, you got to win 2 before you get the, you know, in that routine. I didn't expect them to get absolutely blown out last night.
Neither did I. And, you know, again, you had the moment. You got Virginia Tech. You had a little momentum. But Syracuse, and Jim Boeheim said this after the game, they've beaten everybody else who's beaten them. Like, they lost to Virginia Tech at the Dome, went to Blacksburg, got the win. I mean, they've done it to more than one. So Carolina fell in line last night. Roy Williams incredibly disappointed. And maybe a little bit frustrated after the ball game last night.
I didn't find the right buttons to push. I mean, even today, it's just I got them together after a pregame meal and before we went over the scouting report and talked to them about what's going on in the world and told them, you know, things are changing with this tournament and the whole bit, but let's just get it out in the open and see what questions you have, because I wanted us to really focus on the game. And evidently that didn't work either.
I told you when I got here this morning, picked a bad night to have a bad day, right?
Bad season.
A bad game, rather. Bad night to have a bad game, and you said bad season.
How about forget day? How about season?
Yeah.
That was brutal. By the way, the first game of the day yesterday was Clemson-Miami.
It was.
Game's tied with 4 minutes ago, as we just pointed out with the highlights. From that moment on, we never saw a lead change.
That's right.
And from that moment, that's the early game, forget it. Zero lead changes in Pitt NC State, zero in BC Notre Dame, zero with Syracuse North Carolina.
There you go.
Yes, I'm telling you, yesterday was a weird day, man. And today is only going to get stranger. And by the way, if you can hear in the background. They're working on the our sign on our court. There's the guy right there. This is what it's going to sound like today when you're watching games. You're going to hear everything.
You're going to hear the ball bounce. You're going to hear the shots. You're going to hear the whistles. You're going to hear the coaches yell.
Oh, boy.
You're going to hear the announcers.
If you ever wanted to hear what a, you know, mic up a ref or a coach during a game.
Pretty close.
I think it's one of the topics of the day.
Yep.
And I know that people are going to spend more time on the coronavirus, and rightfully so, because it is the story. But I do think an interesting topic today for fans is going to be how you watch and, more importantly, listen to basketball in these empty arenas.
Yeah.
Because it's unlike anything we're ever going to see. And being here in person is going to be one thing. But, you know, there's going to be very few people here to experience it from that perspective. But like I said, the cool thing to me about ACC tournament basketball, March Madness, is the ebb and flow of the momentum
right. When
a team who's a lower seed has a chance to knock somebody off. And the fans get into the bands. And that's part of the excitement and enthusiasm that we love about sports, especially in March.
Yeah.
And now it's a wash. It's a zero.
When we come back on this program, a Hall of Famer, ACC legend, hashtag ACC legend.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
From the Greensboro Coliseum in what is almost going to be a surreal environment beginning for our first game today with Florida State and Clemson.
I got a little intel. They're working obviously on the camera above the basket you see in the end zone there. That's the south end zone of the Coliseum. But they've also, the way college basketball works or basketball period and events like this, part of the deal is they have the horn on the scoreboard, they have horns on the baskets, right? Well, they're reducing the horn on the baskets. They don't need it. Why? There's not going to be that many people here. So at the end of the day, they've disengaged those horns on top of the basket. They'll just have the one on the scoreboard today. That's why part of the reason they were lowering your scoreboard.
On our floor,
yeah.
And we have our man, David Teal.
I got to tell you now, folks, this is long time coming right here.
Can you use one of those ladders?
One of our great friends is David Teal, now working for Richmond.com.
Yes.
Hall of Fame writer, Hall of Fame dad, Hall of Fame person, and just general all-around good human being. The three of us combined have probably seen about – what is this for you?
Number 37 in a row.
37 straight. I have counted up Packer. I've done 25 professionally, came to 7 as a kid, so this is 32.
Mm-hmm.
And you,
I have no earthly idea.
Oh, come on.
I swear to you, I'm too busy to waste time counting all that stuff.
Okay. So
how about 19? We're just going 19.
All right, we'll go with 19, so that's a pretty fair number.
Okay.
All right. This will be the weirdest day?
Oh, well, yesterday was. Yeah, I think yesterday is going to be far more bizarre than today will be, if we even have basketball. But, I mean, you guys know, every time you looked at your laptop yesterday, even if you looked away for 10 minutes,
right,
something new was breaking, and you just didn't know what to expect next.
What do you think is going to happen next?
I don't think we're going to play today.
You don't?
I really don't. I just think out of an abundance of caution, that's going to be the play. Now, I just have to trust those who have more and better information than we do, and that's just a hunch, but that's my suspicion.
We hope to have Commissioner John Swofford on the show today. Of course, as fluid as this story is, there's no telling, right? I mean, I got to figure conference commissioners right now are working the phones left and right one way or the other, just to make sure everybody's on the same page.
Yeah,
I just don't know. I mean, you sat here last night, and look, we've got friendships in this business that we're in.
Of course.
And there are a lot of people trying to make really difficult decisions last night, and they're all trying to do it congruently.
Yeah.
And I equated a little bit last night, talking to my wife, Victoria, about how the college football playoff works with the five commissioners, Jack Swarbrick of Notre Dame, who ironically in this particular alignment is here.
Yeah.
So John Swofford's got to get his ADs and presidents together. And by the way, all of them are here.
Right.
Affiliated with their teams. That's the same thing has to happen for Larry Scott and Bob Bowlesby and, you know, Malcolm Thomas, I guess, who's in that, who's now at the Big Ten.
Kevin Warren.
Kevin Warren, sorry.
That's okay.
And then, you know, we got obviously Greg Sankey at the SEC. They have all got to, they all made the rough decision in with about a 45 minute span last night.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
So they went to work and did what those guys do on occasion.
Yeah. Well, and remember one of Mike Krzyzewski's perennial rants, so to speak, is the lack of central leadership in college basketball. He has long called for a so-called commissioner of college basketball.
Right.
And yesterday was the perfect example of that need. Someone to make a unilateral decision rather than to have these come out piecemeal.
Well, you did have the president, and you had Mark Emmert say, I mentioned that to Wes on that story yesterday on the statement. It was, I have decided.
Right.
That wasn't one of those, the group has decided, the committee has decided. I have made this recommendation.
Right. Well, and then perhaps he should have gone one further and said, I also recommend that all our conferences do the same with their ongoing tournaments, which he did not do, which I think led to, you know, then it was piecemeal.
All right, I want to ask you a question. I want to get you to turn in your ACC hat, and now I'm going to ask you as a U.S. Basketball Writers Association president.
Right, former.
Former,
thank,
still.
Thank goodness.
But you're right, yeah. What is the impact on the NCAA tournament from the coverage standpoint? Do you think they play knowing kind of the inner workings of the NCAA and that event? Because here's the thing people need to remember. The basketball tournament and the NCAA are two different things. And a lot of people nationally just think of the NCAA and they think of the tournament. It's two different operations, right? The basketball tournament, Dan Gavitt and those guys, that's a whole nother deal, right?
Yeah, well, and it's the deal for the NCAA. It's 80% of the annual budget. Now, as folks noted yesterday, the NCAA is insured.
Yes, they are.
In case there is not a men's basketball tournament. So everyone who wants to equate this to a financial decision, I think, is a little off base because this isn't going to be a kick in the NCAA's pocketbook. Again, my hunch is we've seen our last basketball. I mean, nobody's whispering that in my ear. I do not know that. But that's my guess. And if there is an NCAA tournament, and if we're back here in a week playing, you know, in front of an arena like this, certainly the Final Four is going to be where? At Georgia Tech? It's not going to be at Mercedes-Benz.
No, they're not going to play at Georgia Tech. I think there's options on the table at State Farm, potentially.
Yeah.
Or at McCamus Pavilion.
Yeah. From a selfish standpoint, I hope we get the games.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, I think we all do.
Right. I mean, if you're a fan of sport, you're a fan of the ACC, you want to watch this tournament, you want to watch the big tournament next week. I do think, though, that when you've eliminated 22,000 people here today,
right,
and they have, 22,000 people were here, hotels, I mean, you can call the trickle-down effect with what it's going to have for Greensboro. But when you're telling fans that, you know what, I don't think you should be here, I think you can probably justify the players shouldn't be either.
Yeah.
I'm saying this as a person that wants to watch the games. Yeah. But if they end up shutting this thing down, I don't think that should come as a surprise to anybody.
No, well, and I mean, obviously that's what the NBA has done.
Right.
I mean, thank goodness if Fred Hoiberg's test apparently came back negative. Well,
that's
it did
correct.
come back negative.
He's got the flu.
Yeah.
Cold.
If that had come back positive, it had all been shut down by now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the other thing,
certainly,
too.
Certainly at the Big Ten level.
Here's the other thing, too. Now we got 68 teams eventually going to be in the dance.
Yeah.
You know, don't you think at some point in time the testing should be finding out that, hey, who's a carrier? You got to know. I would think before we play basketball next Tuesday, you have to know that answer if you're one of the 68 teams going in the dance, right? I'm not a doctor, not going to play one, certainly. Yeah. But I don't know what of all the things that student-athletes are able to get.
Yeah.
The perks. It would seem to me that you have to know the answer as a president of an institution, a basketball coach, an AD, much less a commissioner, hey, here's my roster. Do we have a carry? Because if you have one, this is an easy decision.
But this also goes back to a conversation you and I were having during the break, in that David, you know how the University of Virginia, the state university system works in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I mean, there's a board of visitors, a rector of the board, the whole nine yards. Yeah. They not only work with the institutions, they then come back and are affiliated with the particular campuses type deal, right?
Yes.
That goes on at every institution. When did this move, or when does this move, and in some ways it already has, I guess, to the state level, like whether it be Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Massachusetts. There are private schools, Wake Forest, Duke, mm-hmm. Notre Dame, Miami, that have to make decisions. We saw the state of Florida yesterday make a higher education decision. I'm guessing Virginia has made at least one right now, right, in terms of limited attendance. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I know my alma mater, James Madison, is suspended on-campus classes. UVA has. Virginia Tech has.
Right.
And, you know, you talk about this moving to the state level, Wes. I think one of the big movers in all this, one of the big dominoes, one of the first ones to fall yesterday was the Ohio governor, Mike DeWine,
yep.
saying we're not going to have mass gatherings, and that includes in Dayton for the first four and in Cleveland for the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, pressured the NCAA to move.
Yeah, that was definitely the catalyst yesterday.
I thought
so. There's no question about it. No doubt.
Packer and Durham. Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
The ACC tournament brings people from literally all over the country.
We've been really lucky to see some of the great players and some of the great teams that have come around here.
They take great pride in staging what has become one of the premier tournaments in all of college basketball.
Packer and Durham from Greensboro, and what will be a very interesting day. And we'll see if we have basketball, man. Hope we do. We got four scheduled. We hope yep. we do see some hoops, though, today. We'll
great to be joined here by David Teal, friend of the show. Richmond.com is where you can find his work. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Richmond.com, and just a great legacy and luminary here at the tournament. All right, let's go to basketball.
Sure.
In your bracketology mind, NC State have to win today to get in, or are they in?
I think they need to win to secure and have a very restful Selection Sunday.
That's exactly correct.
If there is indeed a Selection Sunday.
Okay, I like that.
But absent that, I'd be very skittish were I
okay.
Wolfpack faithful.
All right, good.
Wes Durham, by the way, before this started, we had a segment where you had to predict how many teams could win the ACC tournament. My partner over here had eight. I had four.
Four.
Yeah. The answer is what?
Four.
Four.
Yeah. Because I didn't trust anyone to come from off the grid and win four consecutive days.
I'm with you.
I mean, none of those teams showed that capability all season long. Why is it suddenly going to emerge here?
Okay. I like that.
By the way, of the four, who do you like?
Duke.
Duke.
I'm telling you, the guy in the event, he's 48-10.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's 48-10 the last 22 years at this event.
He's won 15 of these. He's yeah. got more than anybody else. I got you.
I mean, there's something about the event with him, isn't there?
Yeah, he's...
He likes
it. He's the one guy who did win four from off the grid.
That's it.
Yeah.
In Brooklyn.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so... all right, let's go to a story you wrote Tuesday in the Richmond Times-Dispatch and online yeah. at richmond.com. And that is the potential, and people aren't thinking about this, and we were... Pack to let you know, we were having a conversation on the phone one day, and yeah. Teal said, have you thought about this? Tell Pack.
The five oldest coaches in the history of ACC men's basketball are active right now
mm-hmm.
in the league.
Well, the league is going to go through a fascinating transition in the yeah. next handful of years.
No, it absolutely is. And Josh Pazner told me a great story. When he was hired at Georgia Tech, a bunch of his friends were telling him, what a great time to go into the league because all these cats are going to retire. Their programs are going to be vulnerable. And, here we are, and they're still active. And Pastor said, they're all going to be coaching until they're 100. He says, I'm convinced of it.
Well, I don't think they're going to go to 100, but no. I'll tell you what, I am going to tell you that the day that Mike Krzyzewski says it's time to go fishing, same thing with Roy Williams, Jim Boeheim, the list goes on. You know what those schools are going to do? They're going to hire really great coaches. That's not going to change there'll be a different pressure. But, man, they're going to get good guys to run the show now.
They will get good guys, but there will be a lull. History tells us there will be a lull.
Sure.
It's just natural. You know, you look at all the great coaches. There was always it's just a matter of degree when that dip occurs.
Well, part of this is also going to be who else in the league steps up to make it a more difficult deal for Duke, North Carolina, Syracuse, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, Tony Bennett's turning into that, right?
Yeah,
Chris Mack, I think, has the potential of doing that at Louisville.
He does.
Right?
Yeah.
If there's going to be changes amongst the league, hey, who else can step up? I mean, Leonard Hamilton's 70-something, right?
He's 71, and he looks 51. Right. I hate 30, him.
Yeah, 51. 38. So,
it is going to be an interesting time, though, this decade upon us in ACC basketball from that perspective. I'll tell you another thing that you put out the other day, which I thought was amazing. This is the 67th ACC tournament.
That's correct.
First time ever. Duke or North Carolina was nowhere to be found as a 1, 2, or 3 seed. That is unbelievable.
It sure is. And now, granted, that was a function of tiebreakers this year because Duke tied for second. You know,
it is what it is.
A game out of first place. But, yeah, remarkable.
What do you see as – okay, and I don't think the five coaches 70-plus are the things that – you know,
Roy's 69.
Roy's 69, but we'll be 70.
Be careful.
Yeah. By the way, Leonard Hamilton says 70 is the new 30.
Well, and I'll say this too. We are getting great success from the five – in the last 5 years.
Absolutely.
I mean, so, you know, Jim Larranaga's won a title. Leonard Hamilton's won a title. Roy, Kay, Boeheim.
Been to a Final Four.
Yeah, been to a Final Four. It's going to be interesting, I think, to see how they evolve later, because that really, in some ways, how successful you are, no matter what everybody says, and we've seen it time and again, determines how long you stay, right?
Oh, no question. And Roy's got a great recruiting class coming. I mean, I've heard you say so many times on this show, you better get the Tar Heels this year.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Because they're going to be so much better a season from now. And Coach Krzyzewski has another, you know, big-time class coming in. And Leonard Hamilton has it seriously rolling in Tallahassee.
Don't you think the year that this league has gone through, and again, I don't know if it's going to be 4 or 5, but it looks to be four or five getting in. But I think next season – the league is primed to really just be filthy again in terms of quality, depth, and back to how we normally see it.
I don't think there's any question, Pac. And maybe we didn't expect it to this degree, but when you lose 13 of the top 15 players from the previous season, remember, this is the first time in ACC history that there was not a first or second team all-conference player returning.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of a dip was inevitable. It's just the ebb and flow of college athletics.
Yep.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating swing through the ACC here. I'm really curious as to how and like you said a moment ago, we're dealing with this unknown of, you know, they play basketball today at 12:30. How long does the basketball go? May be the real question. Take the four, and you think one of the four. If you had to pick one, who are you picking? You said Duke.
Yes, I did.
Virginia's DNA in the last month and a half, and I think Jordan Cornette used championship DNA.
Oh, yeah.
What's changed for Tony Bennett in your mind? You've seen a lot of them.
Well, they found some offense, and first it was from Thomas Walda Tenside, the junior college transfer, who gave him some three-point shooting, but he's vanished from the radar. Well, in his absence, Jay Huff has stepped up. I mean, 10 block shots against Duke and big time 3-point shooting. And then Kihei Clark has been fabulous in the clutch. You know, they've won of their last 8 games 7 by 3 points or less.
Right.
It's what they do, man. And here's the other thing.
It's
what they do. But you know what else is great about Virginia's process? I love when people use the process. You know, they know they're going to get you with 4 minutes to go, and it's a tight game. They get more comfortable in their zone. And the other guy sits over there and goes, oh, my God, we're tied. We can't mess this thing up. That's when Virginia is at their very best.
Well, and that's what they learned last season. Last season, Virginia became the first national champion since Arizona in 1997 to have its final four tournament games. Regional semifinal, regional final, both games at the Final Four decided by single-digit margins.
Wow.
I mean, we all saw all those escapes. You know, the Purdue one was particularly outrageous, and then both Auburn and Texas Tech.
By the way, the Pac-12 fans appreciate you mentioning the last time they won a national championship.
I'm here for them.
No, just throw them a bone.
What do you think this will be like? What are you planning? Like, if you had to tell me what's on the grid to write today?
Well, if there's basketball, I think it's going to be like an AAU tournament or the top 100 camp at UVA, where you're in the gym and there's just, you know, a couple hundred folks around, and you do. You hear the whistles and the squeaks of the shoes and the bouncing and the bouncing of the balls and everything. It'll be fascinating to watch. I asked DJ Funderburk after the NC State game yesterday because he mentioned how he thought the Wolfpack got some energy from the crowd.
Yeah.
I said, and this is before the decision was made. Mm-hmm. I said, can you imagine playing the rest of this tournament without fans? He said, sure, I've done it before. I kind of looked at him. He said, I played in junior college. We didn't have any fans. He said, you brought your own energy.
That's what I keep telling you. I think these kids, they go to practice, they go to gyms, they play every day.
Right.
They don't need 20. I mean, it's great to have 22,000, but I think the players are the ones that are like, hey, we're just going to go play ball, man.
And let's remember, a lot of these schools have closed-door scrimmages.
That's the one I talked about in the first segment.
In the preseason, in Virginia this preseason, scrimmage VCU and Georgetown. And it's closed door. There's no media. There's no fans. It's just a scrimmage.
Yeah. Just go play.
All right. Thanks as always. You're a good man, good friend. Appreciate what you do for us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. David Teal, you can read him at richmond.com and the new Twitter handle, by David Teal.
That's correct.
Yeah. Always good.
Is that B-U-Y or B-Y?
B-Y.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.